There's a question that I've heard so many people ask in this season that has reminded me of one of the most vivid memories I have as a kid. It's probably a memory that you may have as well. Do you remember taking trips as a kid? For us, anytime we left the state of Florida where I grew up, we were always driving west. And I remember vividly sitting in the back of my dad's station wagon, usually faced in the opposite direction, looking at the cars behind us. And every 5 minutes, I don't know, every 10 minutes, very often I would ask that question, are we there yet? Have you asked that in this season? Have you asked the question, are we there yet? We don't know where we're going. We don't know what in the world is happening around us. It feels like everything is in motion and constantly changing. This season has felt more and more to me like a wilderness. The way it feels to be walking aimlessly around with no direction, having no clue of where we're headed and when this is going to end. My hope is after the series that we would be able to say, not just welcome to the wilderness, but we would be able to welcome the wilderness, because there's something in the wilderness for us. There's something that can actually happen in the wilderness that is unlike any other time, any other place in life. And so for part one, my simple hope is that we would be learning to welcome the wilderness. Part two, we're going to talk about this amazing scene, this miraculous scene in the life of Jesus where he was driven out into the wilderness and then faced significant temptation. We're going to talk about the temptations of Jesus. And then for part three, my hope is that every single one of us would make sure that we don't forget to remember a few things as we prepare for, as we learn how to thrive in, and as we're able even to look back on this unusual, some have said, unprecedented season that we're in the middle of right now. As I thought about that word, wilderness, as I thought about other people in life who have experienced the wilderness, I couldn't help but think about the Israelites. Maybe you remember some of the stories of the Israelites walking aimlessly for 40 years in a season that felt a lot like this season now. That is just wild for me to think about, walking for 40 years aimlessly, not knowing where you're going, every single day running into new challenges, new situations, so much unknown. I'm not really one who likes the wilderness. In fact, I would much rather a hotel and a new restaurant than some kind of camping scene with a campfire. That's just not me. But there's so much that we have in common, unfortunately, with the Israelites in the wilderness. First of all, none of us know when this is going to end. Are we close to the end, or is the end a really long way away? None of us can see the end. None of us have any idea what it's like on the other side. And all of us have experienced a lot of complaining in this season, which is exactly what the Israelites did. And in fact, when my wife and I were first married, actually when we first had a kid, we've got five kids, and I'll never forget for all of them, when they were little babies, we would make this same joke. And before I even say the joke, you're not going to laugh at it, but before I even say it, I just got to tell you, my wife and I met in seminary. And so there's nothing we love more than a good Bible joke. And so we would put a child in the high chair, getting ready to feed them. And we would be in the kitchen, like screwing the top off the jar that has the food in it. And the kid would just be going crazy, going bonkers, screaming, losing their mind, as if we had never fed them before and we're never going to feed them again. And my wife and I would just look at each other and just grin and kind of give a little wink and go, Israelites, just like the Israelites, because that's what they did. They had so much that God had already done for them. They had no reason to not trust that God was going to provide and he was going to be with them. But yet they still complained over and over and over again, because the wilderness the wilderness is rough. The wilderness is that place where you go, the place where you go to realize that you don't know anything. It's the place where we're reminded of just how out of control we really are. The wilderness, for the sake of our definition for this series, the wilderness is that time in life when something has changed externally that has made me feel lost internally. The economy has changed. The way we understand health has changed. The way we understand education, the way we're operating as schools, the way we shop, the way we consume sports, the way media is, everything has changed externally, and it's dislodged things in us that make us feel lost internally. That is the wilderness. The wilderness is not a place of safety. The wilderness is scary or feels empty. It's the time of life that just feels desolate or disorienting. It feels endless. It certainly can feel uncomfortable and fearful and lonely. But what's amazing is that in the middle of it all, though, there is something beautiful. There's something inspiring. If you've ever taken a trip, if you've ever gone anywhere, in any national park or any beautiful area that you just stand there and think, I cannot believe my eyes are seeing this, you realize that the wilderness is filled with such beautiful inspiration. Yes, it makes you feel dependent, but it's unlike anywhere else you'll ever be. Some of the most beautiful things our eyes have ever laid sight on, we saw in the middle of a wilderness. Yeah, there's always something beautiful to see, even if it forces us to our knees, if it forces us to surrender, because the wilderness of life, as difficult as this may be to hear, it's such a necessary thing for us to walk through. And I don't know what your wilderness feels like. Maybe for some of you, this feels like a season of isolation, where you found yourself without a circle of intimate friends. Or maybe you're in a wilderness of waiting that despite your prayers and your pleas and God, come on, God, when are you? That you continue to be stretched out past even your point of endurance. Or maybe you're in the middle of, or maybe you've just been through a wilderness of pain. Something in life has shattered. And now it feels that you're wandering a trail of despair and debris, standing on the rubble of all of the plans that you had once made. Or maybe you're in a season of boredom, a season of sadness, a season of depression, or maybe just a season of apathy, wondering when is this all gonna be over? The first thing I want when I realize I'm in the middle of a season of wilderness, the first thing I want is out. God, when are you going to bring me through? It characterizes all of my prayers. God, when is this going to end? And I don't want to give it all away right here, but my big concern for myself, my big concern for us, is that our desire to get out of the wilderness can cause us to miss all that God has for us in the wilderness. Yes, we want to get out, but I don't want to miss what he has for us in it, which is why my prayer for this moment has been, God, would you make sure, would you help us get all I can out of the wilderness before I get out of the wilderness? Would you make sure that I get everything I'm supposed to get out of it before you allow me to get out of it? You remember the Israelites that I referenced earlier? Do you remember the way they actually got into the wilderness? It's actually quite remarkable. If you've ever tried to read through the first couple of books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, you bump right into this amazing story, just like they bumped right into the oppression of Egypt. They were enslaved in this land. They were enslaved by Pharaoh and Moses, not because he had a lot of confidence, but because he was confident that God was with him, went and pled on behalf of the Israelites and said, Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh, after a number of plagues were sent, 10 of them to be exact, Pharaoh relented and said, fine, Moses, take your people with your God and just go. And so they did. Over a million people, all of a sudden, in a matter of a moment, experienced freedom and started this journey into the wilderness. But Pharaoh quickly changed his mind. Maybe he got some counselors, his advisors, and said, Pharaoh, what were you thinking? What were you doing? And so Pharaoh started chasing after them with all of his army, all of his military, all of his power. And they bumped into the Red Sea, where Moses held up his staff and God did the unthinkable, parted the Red Sea for his people to go across, not into the promised land, but toward the promised land. No, they had to go before they got to the promised land. They had to go through the wilderness. They had to go through the valley to get to the mountaintop. They had to go through the wilderness to get to the water of safety and the water of promise that God had given them. And the same is true for us. And just as they complained, we're people who are common to complain as well. In fact, I want to show you some of the things that they complained about. I'm talking so much complaining. I've pulled out just a couple of things in Exodus that highlight this remarkable level of complaining. Here's Exodus 14, verse 11, where they said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you had to bring us out here in the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? And didn't we say to you back in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. It's amazing the story they made up in their own mind. I'm sure Moses at that point was like, whoa, you said you wanted to die in Egypt? The only thing I heard was, would you help us find freedom? But the wilderness got difficult. It got hard. It got challenging. It actually got miserable for them. They even complained about not having enough food. We see this just a couple of chapters later in Exodus 16. Look at verse 3. They said to Moses, they said, if we had only died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. Yeah, because there we sat around with pots of meat, like it was some Brazilian steakhouse, and we ate all the food we wanted. But you brought us out here into this desert to starve the entire assembly to death. Moses, what are you thinking? And God, what are you doing? See, it's in the wilderness that we question God the most. God, why? God, what are you up to? God, what are you trying to show us? What are you trying to teach us? And tucked in the middle of Exodus, I want to show you these two little verses that point to something greater, that point to something that God's doing that was beyond what any one of them could see. In Exodus 13, verse 17 and 18, Moses tells us this. He said, when the Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country. That was more direct. And it was actually shorter. No, but God knew. God said, if they face war with the Philistines, they might change their minds and they might return to Egypt. And so God let the people, he allowed the people to go down the desert road toward the Red Sea, because he knew it was then and it was there that these Israelites would come up out of Egypt ready for battle. You know, what we learn from Exodus 13, 17, and 18 is that God was doing something. God was up to something in the same way that he's up to something in your life right now. As much of a wilderness as this might feel like, God is on the move. God is doing something. Yes, we can't see it, but he's doing something that's real and that's meaningful. And my hope is that we might not just pay attention to it, but we might get to a place where we welcome even the wilderness of life. I want to just show you three things that we see in Exodus that God is doing. Three things that we might not otherwise see. Here's the first one. This is what God does in the middle of the wilderness. God leads his people to the wilderness, and God leads his people while they are in the wilderness. God has always led his people to a season of external change that creates this internal agony or hopelessness or loss. But he does it for a reason. And we've seen him do it over and over and over and over again. He did it in the life of Elijah. He led Elijah into a wilderness. He did it in the life of David. He led David into the wilderness as Saul was chasing him. He led Jacob into the wilderness to wrestle with him. He even led Jesus into the wilderness, as we're going to see next week, that he leads us to it, but he leads us in it. Well, why is that so important? Because while we're in it, he provides for us. He still leads us while we are in the most desolate, empty, isolating place of our lives. Yeah, he's done it throughout all of history. While Elijah was in the wilderness, he provided meat and bread for him. While David was in the wilderness, he provided safety and security through the company of the men around him. While Jesus was fasting for 40 days in the wilderness, God sent angels to care for him. And he can lead you, not just to it, but he can lead you in it even before he leads you through it. I love this little verse in Deuteronomy talking about this wilderness. As they looked back on it, there's this huge section, this huge speech where they're trying to remind themselves, don't forget all that God did. Don't forget all that God brought us through. And this is really just for a moment of levity for us, but this is in Deuteronomy 8:15. The author wanted them to know, remember how bad it got? Well, don't forget that it was God who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. I'm sure they were like, oh yeah, it was bad. Oh, it was terrible. And God, he led us to it, and God led us in it. But before he led us through it, he was doing something in the middle of it. This is the second thing we learned that God does in the wilderness. God reveals himself in the desert. God shows us more of himself. God tells us more about himself. Do you remember that for Moses, Moses was in a season of wilderness when he bumped into this bush. And this bush was actually on fire, but it wasn't burning up. And it was in that moment that he had the first altercation, the first conversation with God, where God let him know, hey, Moses, if you want to know what to call me, I'm going to tell you what to call me. Listen up. He said, I am the great I am. And God showed up right there in the wilderness. I am the I am. What does that mean? It means I am who you need me to be. Who do you need God to be in this season? God wants to show you more of himself. In this season, I've had to learn that, yes, God provides even when it seems like he's not going to. But even more than that, that God can be trusted even when I can't see him. And I've learned that before. I've learned that in different ways, but I've never learned it in a profound way like I would have in otherwise if it were not for this season. But God reveals himself in different ways, in new ways, to his people in the middle of the wilderness. And then the third thing we learn that God does is that God always, and I mean always, like every single time, God always uses the wilderness to prepare us for something that's coming later. Well, what is that for you? Well, we don't know And we can't know. I don't know what it is for me, and I don't know what it would be for you. I hope it's not another economic crash. I hope it's not another global pandemic. But maybe in a different way, God is going to do something in us to prepare us for that thing that's coming down the road. My hope is that one day we might be able to look back on this season and go, whoa, we would have never known that. We would have never been able to experience that. We would have never understood that if we had not gone through the wilderness. A friend of mine the other day pointed me to the speech that William Shakespeare wrote in King Henry V in his famous historical play. The speech that King Henry V gave to the men that were fighting a battle with him on St. Crispin's Day. It's a beautiful scene, but it's an inspiring speech where he introduces us to this idea that, yes, there are people that are not here fighting with us. Yes, there are people that might not be able to understand what we're going through, but there's going to be a day where we're going to look back on this season and realize, whoa, we wouldn't have learned what we learned if we hadn't gone through this. We wouldn't have been able to appreciate this next season if we hadn't gone through this. And at the very end of his speech, he writes this: from this day to the ending of the world, we in it shall be remembered, we few, we happy few, we band of brothers. For he today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother, and he ne'er so vile this day shall gentle his condition. And the gentlemen in England who are now abed, the ones that are laying in their bed, that they're going to think themselves accursed that they were not here. And they are going to hold their manhoods cheap while any speaks that fought with us upon St. Crispin's Day. That we're going to look back on this day and realize, oh, wow, God was forming something in me. In fact, that's what the wilderness does. The wilderness is not meant to harm you. The wilderness is meant to form you. It's meant to build something in you, something you wouldn't have understood, you wouldn't have been able to appreciate otherwise. It's what God does in the wilderness. He always uses it to prepare us for something that's coming. What is God's goal for you and for me in the wilderness? I wonder if it's not to depend on him, to call on him as the provider. Like a child that comes to a parent, says, I'm ready to eat and I don't know where else to get food other than you. That we would depend on him. What is his hope for us? That we might know him better. That we might understand him in new ways. That we might see him in new ways. What does he count as success for us? That he would be able to count us faithful. That we would be able to hear that beautiful voice that Jesus referenced to. This is my servant. This is my faithful servant. Well done. That's his hope. That's his goal for us. And that we might learn to understand, that we might learn to appreciate his love in a new way. I love that little line in Psalm 63, that the steadfast love of the Lord is better than life. It's better than anything else we could understand. And if we could go into this season, be in this season, if we could welcome this season to be able to understand his love more, I believe that's worth accepting. That's worth welcoming. That's worth being in the middle of the wilderness to recognize and to understand and even to feel and experience this steadfast love of the Lord that's better than anything else we could experience. And so would you choose to welcome the wilderness? Would you choose to accept it? You don't have to be grateful for it. You don't have to be glad that it's here. In fact, you can pray that it will leave. You can pray that it will go. You can even complain all you want about it. But would you choose to welcome the wilderness and all that God has for us in the middle of it all? Would you pray with me as I pray? Heavenly Father, we just want to stop and recognize that we love the mountaintop, that we love standing on the podium. We love getting the recognition. We love comfortability. But God, we also recognize that we can learn and understand you in ways that we just wouldn't otherwise, even when we're in the valley. Because you're not just the God of the mountaintop, you are the God of the wilderness as well. And so whatever that would look like for each one of us to accept this season, that you are in the middle of this, that you have something for us, that you are preparing us for something that we can't even see. As awful, as difficult, as agonizing as the wilderness is, I pray that we would be able to see it with your eyes. Thank you for Jesus, who understood the wilderness in ways that we never will be able to, who walked through it just as we're walking through it now. And we pray all of this in his name. Amen. Hey, thank you so much for watching part one. I hope that you'll be back for part two as we talk about maybe one of the most challenging things that any one of us bumps into. If you know anyone who's struggling with some kind of temptation in the middle of the wilderness, next week, next part is definitely for him, maybe even for her. So we'd love for you to share this with someone, and we hope that we'll see you back here for part two of Welcome the Wilderness.